What does it take to be a genius? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. What does it take to be a genius? Well, to be a genius is to think a thought long enough and strong enough until you bring it forth in your consciousness and in your world, and it's usually a thought someone else has not already thought. Although, if someone has already thought, it's not a thought that someone else has already worked on. And if it's not a thought that somebody's already worked on, then it's probably some way out, some far out idea, some beautiful, outlandish concept. Now, there's a man, and he's, I believe, from Canada or France, Canada, I think, and he has had a dream of flying, and he wanted to have his own flying suit, his own flying gadget that goes on his body, and so he has built it, and he is taken off from the ground because it has jet propulsion for it, you know, and he has jumped out of airplanes, and now he's in the Popular Science magazine, and he's going to put on a show, on an air show, in which he's going to demonstrate his flying suit. And it's just an ordinary suit with wings, you know, and so forth that hang off to the side, but he's wearing it. Now, you and I would say, I'd rather mentally just fly, you know, or take an airplane. I really am not that interested in flying up there just to fly to prove that I can do it. And what does he do? He does it, and he enjoys it. So we call him a genius because he has found all of the techniques and the way that it works. And he's found the way that he can do it and do magic with it and have a lot of fun with it. Now, his genius is unique. Now, another unique genius is Einstein. Einstein came up with a lot of very... Put it on the table here, and that's fine, Ellen. And a lot of Einstein came up with a lot of good ideas for science and so forth. And peers said, "Hey, that stinks. That doesn't work. That's totally unrighteous, you know, totally unreasonable." And Einstein said, "You prove me wrong, and I'll believe it. I know it works. I don't have to prove that it works. I know it works. Now, if you want to let it titillate your mind and make you think about it, good. But I've done my thinking." Now, see, there's a real genius. The real genius is one who comes up with his creative imagination and doesn't have to prove it to anybody. He just lives in that awareness. Now, our brain is filled, it has the largest amount of blood in our body is in our brain. At any one time, the brain has more blood in it than anything else. And the brain is made up of 80% fat. 80% fat. And the fat is not something that is usable. It is just structure. It is just something to fill the cranium and to hold the blood vessels and the veins and the arteries and the capillaries and the nerves and all the other activities that go on up there. Because that's quite a manufacturing factory that's in our head, you know, with our ability to see and to hear. Well, what they're doing, they're coming to understand the brain. They're coming to understand it by its peripheral things first. First, they understand how the eyes work. And they are developing chips that will do the functioning of the eyes. And they'll be able to replace the eyes with a chip. And the chip will do everything, sending that information to the brain and having it be processed in the right manner, just like the eyes do. Then they will develop a chip for smell, you know, for you and taste and smell and sensitivity. Then they'll develop a chip that'll receive the nerve endings from the body that tells you if you're touching something hot or cold, or if you're feeling or whatever you're doing, you know. And pretty soon, once they have done that, then what's the next thing? Daniel, when you buy a new computer, what's the first thing you want to do? You want to take everything you have on your old computer and put it on your new computer. All your programs, all your memory. So you want to take your memory. You want to take your memory from the old computer and put it on the new computer. Now, perhaps you won't want to do that. You may just have an extra plug-in that you plug in an extra hard disk with the memory of what you had on your previous computer, and then you just work in parallel to that, or you have it in. Now, they're developing a chip that's no larger than an eyelash, than a hair, and maybe as wide and fat as a hair, on which they can have the entire memory of all the Library of Congress, of all the books that are put on reserve. Now, you say that's quite a bit. Well, not really. It's a lot to you because you don't think like a chip. The chip has all this information poured into it, and it has space to spare. And it has the ability to analyze that information and organize that information and make it available to something that can utilize that information. And so the brain and the head and the eyes, ear, nose, and throat and everything else, the thalamus gland and everything, the hypothalamus gland, all these things that do wonderful things, they're all being put on chips. Because science is replacing a little bit here and there. Somebody has a bad thalamus gland, and they replace it with a chip. And you say, oh, come on now. Yes, they do. And you have trouble hearing, they're replacing the hearing devices with chips. And so, and they're bypassing your hearing system. They're not trying to remodel your hearing system and make it better. They're just putting in a replacement. And so, essentially, the old hearing system isn't necessary anymore. And the new hearing system can do more than the old hearing system ever did, because the new hearing system, you can hear what's going on in New York City, if you wish, here in California, and be aware of it. But, you see, it takes such a refinement of focusing in on what you want to focus on. Now, when you're hearing me sitting here at the table, and you're hearing me talk, you're focusing in on me. Now, you don't realize that there's a wind going out there blowing in the trees. You don't realize that the dog is standing there looking at a piece of food that he'd like to get a hold of, unless you are not very concentrated. But if you're concentrated, you can concentrate on anything. And you can even hear a butterfly flapping its wings. Now, that's quite something. Now, that's concentration. Now, you have that ability. But number one, you haven't allowed yourself to express that ability for a long time, and so you say that it can't be done. Now, you can do it with the equipment you have, but with the chip devices that are coming off the market, off of the Silicon Valley programs, they provide you with things that are so magnificent. They're absolute geniuses. Now, why are they working on them at all? Because they had the thought to do it. It wasn't a need to do it. It wasn't a need because someone couldn't hear, or someone couldn't see, or someone couldn't do it. They just were playing. Their genius was saying, hey, wouldn't it be interesting? Right now, our talk at the table, you listen to me give you a dozen different possibilities, and you say, oh, that's interesting, that's interesting. And now, had you thought of it 10 minutes before? No. Now, what? Maybe you are going to take one of those ideas and work with it. Now, are you working with it because the world needs to have that, or because it's fun? And you see, the scientist who works with these things because they're fun is having fun. The scientist who works with these things because they're a delight is a real genius, just being himself and having fun. And this is the magic of being a genius. Now, do you have the capacity within you to be a genius? Very definitely. Are you a genius? Very definitely. Do you know everything? Yes. When are you going to realize that you start? When are you going to realize that you do know everything? When you play the game that Einstein did, or will you play the game that Richard Bach did? Remember Richard Bach and Jonathan Livingston Seagull? This voice spoke to him out of the nothingness and said, "Jonathan Livingston Seagull." He turned around and tried to say, "Where did this voice come from?" You know, well, it was inside of him. And he listened, and he wrote down the first portion of the book. And he wrote the book very beautifully. And then he got cocky. You know what cocky means, don't you? Mm-hmm. He thought he was superior to the voice that was talking to him. And, I'm damn good, you know, I'm really good. This is real, the way to write a book. And the voice stopped. And until he got his humility, until he got his realization that this was really the divine within him talking, it didn't come back. But the minute he got that realization, it came back. Now, Einstein is supposed to be a scientist and not talking about God. But he said God spoke to him and gave him this information. And he said, where else could it come from? Now, he didn't give a theology with it. He just gave a fact. That's his understanding of God and how God works, and God works like that through him. And cool. Now, when did he write these wonderful things in the beginning? Well, he was 23 years old. He was just a smart-ass kid, you know. He had no limitations. He didn't think that he couldn't do it or could do it. It came, he wrote it down, like Bach, you know. But he wrote it down, and he says, hey, this is interesting. And I wonder what I'm saying here. And this is what real genius is all about. Real genius is letting go and letting the magic within you reveal itself through you as whatever it is you want. Now, can anyone do that? Sure. Do you do it oftentimes? Sure. Do you do it while you're sleeping? Oh, yeah, often. Do you do it when you're talking to someone and they say something interesting and you say, well, now, wouldn't this be a better way to approach it? They say, what do you know about it? You know, don't ask me. Just think about what I said. Well, you have no authority, you know. You don't come with any right to say this, you know. Well, think about it. And then, okay, hey, you know, that is how it works. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, see, you know. And we just because a little kid comes up and says something, and Jesus said, you know, out of the mouths of children, you know, let little children come unto you, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And my goodness sakes, we are that way. We let that innocence, that ingenuousness of us come forth and shine out the reality that we are, and it's fun. It's fun. But we play the game that we are not geniuses, and we play the game that we're stupid. We play the game that we don't understand these things. They're too complex for us. And so we shut it off. And the minute we start playing with these things, like chess or like Scrabble or something, and you see how you're going to make two-letter words, you get a book on Scrabble, and you see how many one-letter words, whether one-letter words there are, and how many two-letter words there are, how many three-letter words that you'd never dream about, you know, and how many four-letter words, and so you got this space, and you got these things, and when you start playing the game and getting your mind going on that, it's just like a rap singer. A rap singer sings in rap, and you think, my God, what a brilliant little mind that guy's got. And he's going and he's going and he's saying nonsense, but it's charming. It's just absolutely charming. But it's what he's letting the inner flow. Now, as he does it more completely, he sometimes even says something intelligent. But that's a fun thing to do. It's a fun thing to for us to think about. So, are you a genius?
Yes.
You bet. Are you going to be a genius in anything you want to be? You are. And do you have to prove it to anybody? No. Just be yourself and have fun. And if someone says, are you a genius? Says, yep. And don't say, and so are you, which is true. Because the minute you say, and so are you, you're defending yourself. Just say, yep. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Now, do you think that Einstein could paint a Michelangelo picture? That's not his field, is it? He could, but that's not where he has put his genius. And you think that Michelangelo could prepare the technical data that Einstein has come up with? Well, to tell the truth, that's an area that Michelangelo is a genius in. Michelangelo was an absolute genius in Bible and everything else because he painted the Sistine Chapel and he did all these things, but he had to know paint structure, he had to know chemicals, he had to know chemistry to make the paints that will stay up there on the chapel ceiling and you know, century after century, and that when he works with marble, he had to know the, geology of the marble, so that he would take a piece of marble and when he'd tap it, it wouldn't just shatter. It would allow him to create what he wanted to create. See, this is the magic, the genius that lay within every creative person who just lets go and lets their magic come forth. So, I see all of you as geniuses. And I see you enjoying the magic of your genius right now, just like Michelangelo did, and just like many another did. I love you. I love you.
I love you.